Hello and welcome to 433, program featuring new music on CITR at 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This show's gonna be dedicated to featuring some of the artists of the Vancouver New Music Festival 40th anniversary retrospective coming up this week in Vancouver between October 16th and 19th. So they didn't ask me or anything, I just thought it would be an interesting idea to build on the synergy of the festival and feature some of the composers and performers who you will have a chance to see perform their works live. So the format of the show is going to roughly correspond to the four-day festival program. I'm going to begin with electronic, electroacoustic, and new media works. We'll feature works for small ensemble and solos, opera excerpts, and works for large ensemble. It's an ambitious program, but I hope that you will bear with me for this lovely hour on Thanksgiving Monday. And you're currently listening to an excerpt from Paul Dolden. It's called Sask Energy from 2002. Thank you. You just heard Magali Bebe, a Montreal composer. And before that, Paul Dolden. Paul Dolden has been described, his music at least, has been described by critics as music for the information age, enlisting noise, complexity, and beauty in its quest for excess, and characterized as apocalyptic hypermodernism. So, welcome to this apocalyptic hypermodernism. And just now, you heard the piece Triturations, again by Magali Babin, a Montreal composer. You can hear these works at the Vancouver New Music 40th Anniversary Retrospective. Paul Dolden, you can hear Resonance Number 1, works for small ensemble and solos on Wednesday, October the 16th at 8 p.m. at the Orpheum Theater. And Magali, you can hear on Thursday, October 17th, again at the Orpheum. Next, I wanted to feature a composer whose acquaintance I made just a couple of weeks ago at the Score Reading Club at the Canadian Music Center. Her name's Jocelyn Morlock, and she, again, will be featured on Wednesday, October the 16th, in her piece Icarus Landing. Instead of describing the piece, why don't I let the composer do the talking instead?
Vancouver New Music commissioned a piece for me called Icarus Landing a long time ago. As a matter of fact, it was in January of 1999. So this is one of the oldest pieces in my catalog, I would have to say. And it had a very unusual genesis. Owen asked me to write it right at approximately the same time in my life that my father was dying of cancer. And so I first agreed to write the piece without really thinking that much about what I was writing, because my mind was on other things. When it was time to begin writing the piece, I realized that it needed for me to include my experience of my father's illness in some way. During the time that I was writing, I happened to listen to an old Jane Siberry album that I hadn't heard for years. And strangely enough, this brought back a flood of recollections of my life at that time, and especially the sudden death of my boyfriend's mother. So that was another catalyst for the piece, and it suggested to me a framework for the composition. Although this piece is not intended to be a narrative account of the events surrounding these deaths, it does deal with the emotions that they engendered. The title Icarus Landing refers to the Greek myth in which Icarus's father made him wings so that he could fly. Icarus flew too close to the sun, his wings melted, and he fell into the sea and died. To me, Icarus represents the euphoria of flight, the illusion of immortality held by youth, the inherent danger in having a parent who believes that his child can do anything, and the tragedy of realization of mortality. The landing of Icarus represents maturity through loss, the loss of a parent and the loss of the illusion of immortality. Icarus is no longer able to fly, he's bound to earth in his own mortality. The metaphor of descent, both into the past and reverie and into despair, madness, and illness, is also integral to this work. In some ways, this piece was a culmination of my experiments with extended techniques. I continued to use them after that, for sure. But in this piece, they were extremely important to me, simply because sounds like the sort of screaming multiphonic of a clarinet or some of the scraping inside the piano, they seemed like a very expressive sound as far as this despair. And I was also using them in kind of an unusual way, almost as a perversion or illness of the basic sound. That's not how I normally view them, but that was how I used them in this case.
So there you go, Icarus Landing. Jocelyn Morlock. Again, you can hear this piece at the Vancouver New Music 40th Anniversary Retrospective in full. Tickets for students for each of the performances is $15. Students and seniors, and regular price is $35. You can get a four-night pass at $110, although single tickets are, of course, also available. I wanted to play another work by a Canadian composer featured on the program. His name is Robert Normando, and he will be one of his works will be featured on the program. I wanted to play a work from 2011, about 6.5 minutes long, called La Huppe, which, from what I understand, is a small Afro-Asian or Eurasian bird, colorful bird with a distinctive crown of feathers. So, Robert Normando with La Huppe, and after that we'll launch straight into a few public service announcements, and then we'll be back with some excellent, and I think I accidentally said raunch, but this is going to be appropriate raunchy opera music. So please bear with me, and hope you're enjoying the show.
CITR 101.9.
CITR 101.9 FM.
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 CITR, Voices of UBC.
Hey, this is Noah from Christ on Parade, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Where's Matt? Despite the fact that 8 in 10 Canadians are against warrantless and costly online spying, the government remains stubborn, set to cement this scheme into law. With their huge PR budget, they've unleashed a reckless and irresponsible campaign that suggests warrantless collection of our private data is on par with a phone book. We can't let them trick Canadians. Go to www.openmedia.ca now to find out what you can do to get involved and stop this smoke and mirrors campaign the government has started.
Okay. So, next composer that I wanted to feature on the program is quite an interesting fellow. He's also recorded a little excerpt explaining some of the opera pieces and excerpts that will be performed on Friday, October 18th at the Vancouver Playhouse. This is Peter Hannon, and some of the excerpts will be from The Gang and from 120 songs for the Marquis de Sade. So you can imagine what kind of content is going to be featured. First, I will allow Peter Hannon to talk a little bit about his compositions, but when I do play a couple of excerpts or two songs from the 120 songs for the Marquis de Sade, I just want to advise listeners that some of the content might not be extremely well suited to the younger listeners, so I just wanted to issue a short content advisory. If you do turn off the radio, please join me again in approximately 6 minutes. For now, I will allow Peter Hannon again to describe some of his compositions.
We are remounting a little excerpt of your operas, and two of them, The Gang and The Marquis de Sade. The full title actually is not The Marquis de Sade, but it's
120 songs for The Marquis de Sade.
Well, let's start from that, because I think the title is already intriguing enough, and can you just give us an idea about the structure of the piece and how you kind of, you know, in a way we are presenting a snapshot of the piece?
Yes. Well, the idea of the piece, the title, 120 Songs for the Marquis de Sade, comes from one of Sade's works, which was 120 Days of Sodom. And Peter Hinton actually came up with the idea of that we would do 120 short pieces. And I mean, I think we both think kind of similarly about form. And like, I just thought that was a fantastic idea, even though kind of like daunting idea of 120 little pieces. The thing about that opera is that I did this with Peter Hinton, and we had this idea of doing an opera about the Marquis de Sade, and it was originally done for Modern Baroque Opera in Vancouver that was primarily doing early music and early operas, and somehow this idea really appealed to Kate Hutchinson, who ran that company, and she basically commissioned the opera from us, and we went ahead and did it. And when we started, we had no idea really what we were going to do. We didn't know. We read a lot of Sade's work, and probably most of it. And the first thing that Peter said when we got together to talk about it, he said, whatever we do, we are not doing the biography of the Marquis de Sade. And that's, in fact, what we ended up doing. Mm-hmm. And the approach we decided to take was to do the whole thing as sort of black humor is what we decided to do. And so even the story, the things we did in his life, were kind of, a lot of the scenes are very funny. And that was the approach we decided to take.
Yeah, as opposed to The Gang, that has a sort of a formal different structure, I think is interesting, and I hope that in spite of the fact that we're presenting, as I said, snapshots of the larger work, this will come out. The Marquis de Sade, for me, in kind of a panel form, organized on this section that follow one into each other, while The Gang is a sort of a more narrative connected to Tom Cohn's libretto.
Yes.
And so a very different approach.
Yeah.
Also musically, I think they're slightly different in the evolving of your personal style.
Yeah, the gang was basically, well, the 120 songs really is, much of it is written really as songs, like they're little songs, whereas the gang is more of a through-composed kind of thing, and there aren't many places that you can sort of excerpt as a song. And I guess in terms of the musical style, The Gang is, you know, a kind of modern story about paranoia and difficult human relationships. And the music I wrote for that was completely, absolutely no reference to earlier music or anything. Whereas the 120 Songs from the Marquis de Sade, I did use kind of some fake historical things. And the Marquis de Sade, as it goes on, it sort of starts in this fake historical, and then it ends up being quite modern music by the end. Whereas The Gang is totally kind of modern, loud, metallic.
Yeah.
And then The Gang, everybody's amplified, the singer's amplified and everything. So it's a bit different that way.
There you go. It's not often that I have to issue a content advisory for operatic works on this program, if you did stick around, that was Peter Hannon, some excerpts, the first one, Compendium, and the second one called Orgy, for 120 songs for the Marquis de Sade. So this program, 433, hosted by yours truly, Gregory Gann, has been dedicated to the Vancouver New Music 40th Anniversary Retrospective. And we're going to continue in the trend. We're doing pretty well for time. We're just about half done our broadcast. And I wanted to feature a little bit of a longer piece. This is a performance of Howard Bashaw's Preludes, numbers 1, 4, and 8. And it is performed by pianist Chris Morano. And it was one of Marino's DMA recitals from the University of British Columbia, which is coincidentally where we're located now. So the piece is about 10 minutes long, and you will be able to hear Howard Bashaw's works again between October 16th and 19th. You can always check out the website at newmusic.org. This is, again, for the Vancouver New Music Retrospective. If you have any questions about the show, or if you're deeply offended by those opera excerpts, please don't hesitate to write to me at theoryofhappiness@yahoo.com. And again, my name is Greg Regan, with your show 433. Howard Bashaw, Chris Morano, Preludes 1, 4, and 8. Thank you. Howard Bashaw's Preludes number 1, 4, and 8, featuring Chris Morano on the piano. You'll be able to hear Howard Bashaw and his work, The Cycle of Strength, written for a large ensemble, on Saturday, October 19th at 8 p.m. at the Vancouver Playhouse. This is again part of the Vancouver New Music 40th Anniversary Retrospective. And just to highlight a few more performances from that Saturday concert, I wanted to play you again a short introduction by John Korsrud, who will be whose work "The Shadow of Your Smile" will be featured, and then Alexina Louis, "Winter Music," and James Maxwell, "Into Aerie." So, without further ado, here's John Korsrud on his work, "The Shadow of Your Smile." I will play a different composition for you, titled "Bernadette," from his 2002 record, "Rub Harder," and then I'll launch straight into Alexina Louis and James Maxwell with a short explanation of the pieces following the music. So I hope you're enjoying the show. And here is John Korsrud about his work being performed at the Vancouver New Music Retrospective.
Hi, my name is John Korsrud. My piece is called "Shadow of Your Smile." This piece is a very different piece for me. Most of my pieces are quite energetic, and I try to make them quite exciting. This one is I try to make this very different for me. It's very dry. It's really based on Dutch minimalism. I lived in Holland for a few years and went back every year to study with Louis Andriessen. So it was kind of a nod to kind of the Dutch minimalism, which is kind of anti-romantic, anti-Wagnerian. No, very unemotional, just kind of repetitive, and but the Dutch have a way of thinking about minimalism that's different than the Americans think about minimalism. I always find the music very kind of stark, but very arresting and very fascinating, and I really, really loved it. I found it really, really had a very different music and very interesting. It's like music like no other, and I don't know any other people who kind of write in that style. So when I heard that, I wanted to incorporate some of that language into this piece. So this was my first. I've dabbled in this kind of language before, but this is my first big piece where I kind of use some of the Dutch languages. Thank you.
You just heard a performance of Fast Forward by Alexina Louis and Dorel Golan at the piano. And before that, I played you a short piece by John Korsrud from the album Rub Harder in 2002. The song was called Bernadette. Now I just have, if I could just have 1 minute of your time, I will play for you a very short piece by the Three Root 60 Collective, with Alison Detta directing and Claire French choreographing. This is a piece by James Beckwith Maxwell, again featured at the Vancouver New Music Retrospective. They're celebrating their 40 years. And these pieces that you last heard will be performed on Saturday, October 19th at 8 p.m. at the Vancouver Playhouse. Meanwhile, I wanted to close off the program with another famous Canadian, Jacques Etu, with a symphonic movement called Le Tempo de Nelligan, Orchestre du Conservatoire de Musique du Québec, and Rafi Armenian conducting. So thank you so much for tuning in. This has been 433, a program dedicated to new music in Vancouver on CITR 101.9 FM. Tune in with me next Monday between 6 and 7 p.m. As this is my regular time slot. I hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you so much for listening. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
It's our pledge drive here on NPR, and we have a 20-minute field recording of a tumluku, which is a Bosnian instrument which can only be played when you have a pierced scrotum and three kids who have been killed by a landmine. It's unlistenable radio!